get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
To the Spann Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 181 of the report, and right now we chilling out, man. We relaxing and maxing and all of that other shit with some Tank right now, some brand new Tank. Rock out with your boy. Indeed, man. We are maxing and relaxing here on this Saturday night. Of course, like I said, I am your host, Mr. Spann, and this is episode number 181 of the report. And we got some shit to talk about tonight, man. We really do. And it's a lot. We got enough to talk about tonight. At least an hour's worth of shit, right? So yeah, before we get into that, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me. Hit the Spann Report podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Leave me those emails, man. Of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to them here live on the show, man. Go ahead and send those in. I appreciate everybody who does that. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spann. So go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week, you know, and talk about everything that's going on, right? So we can do that on Twitter and Instagram, man. I post pictures on Instagram sometimes, like when I'm at work, and I don't work 60 hours this week, man. So yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. So yeah, go ahead, follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram, man. Also, you can join the Facebook fan group. I mean, well, the group for everybody who listens to the show, man. So go ahead to Facebook, join the Span Report hashtag TSRP, the fam. Go ahead and join that group and chop it up if Facebook is your medium, right? Because everybody ain't really fucking with Twitter like that. So yeah, if you want to rock out with the with the Span Report on Facebook, you can do that. Go ahead and join the Facebook group and be a part of that, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything is there, man. You can join the site. I don't know why you would, but yeah, you could do that. It's an option. It's available. You can join the site. You can donate to the show. You can vote in the polls. You can actually watch the show live while I'm doing it, right? So if you don't have Crowdcast or you don't want to go to Crowdcast and try to figure out how to subscribe, yeah, you can go to every time I post a new episode on the Span Report, you can go there, and those episodes are also broadcasting live on thespanreport.com, man. So go to your Span Report for everything, man. Like, donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and as, of course, we always appreciate the little extra help over here. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, go ahead and do that. www.thespanreport.com, man, is your one-stop shop for everything Span Report related. Yeah. And, excuse me. Now, I wanted to play some Tennessee State shit, right? Because it's homecoming at Tennessee State, and I'm not there, and I'm feeling like I haven't been to a Tennessee State homecoming in quite a long time, and I've been itching to go, like, for the last 5 years. I'm like, man, I really want to go to homecoming, and it never, like, really pans out. Like, I always, like, don't schedule for it, or I don't, like, really plan for it, and then I look up, and boom, homecoming is right around, it's, like, right there. So next year, I'm gonna be there, but I started to, like, play some of that Aristocratic Bands, like, TSU funk shit, but, like, as much as I love the TSU funk, it wasn't gonna translate well on the podcast, man. Like, you know, it just wasn't good, man. I couldn't find any place where I could actually just download this shit. It was a whole bunch of YouTube videos and stuff like that. Probably need to talk to somebody at the school. Like, yo, man, y'all should make this shit available for us to download, listen to in our cars, and rock out when we want to feel like we a part of the homecoming shit, too. Because I ain't at the homecoming, but I want to go to homecoming, and I ain't at homecoming because I had to work this week. And I put in 60 motherfucking hours, man. And nigga, I'm tired, you know what I'm saying? And I want to be, like, a part of the shit, too. Right? So, yeah, man, I wanted to play some TSU funk, man, but I couldn't do it, man. Them horns, man, it doesn't really translate well on the audio, especially when you're doing the shit from, like, YouTube. It ain't that great, man. Like, the sound quality just isn't that great. And I don't want to do the Aristocratic Bands any injustices like that, man. Best band in the land, right? Shout out to all my HBCUs, man. You know, we got to go hard for our schools, man. You know, it took a while for me to find a fitted Tennessee State University cap, man. And I've been rocking this motherfucker like it ain't shit. Like, you're like, hey, man, what is TSU? Where's that school? It's like, it's in Tennessee, man. Tennessee State University. You hear about the Vols. You hear about Fisk. Tennessee State University. Catch up with your boy. Right. So, yeah. Another thing, too, about the Tennessee State University band, man, while I'm bullshitting, like, I remember when I was at Tennessee State and I had like a love hate relationship with the Tennessee State University band, man, because, like, I remember my first year, man, I stayed in Hale Hall. That was the upperclassman co-ed dorm on Tennessee State's campus. And, you know, like, it's the funny thing about going to an HBCU, man, we got some of those antiquated rules and shit. Like, you don't get the same amount of freedom you get when you would go to, like, a predominantly white university, right? So, like, at Tennessee State, you know, you had Hale Hall, which was the upperclassman co-ed dorm, and mostly honor students were in that. And your boy Span was an honor student. I was in that young honors program, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I was a freshman. I was one of the few freshmen in Hale Hall, right? And I remember before they built the music building at Tennessee State, they used to practice right outside my motherfucking window. Right? And, like, I'd be in my dorm and, like, God damn, man, like, could they hurry up and finish, man? Like, I understand, like, it's going to be thebomb.com when we had a pep rally or when we at the football game. But right now, nigga, I really just want to watch this movie, dog. Like, I can't even watch this movie because the tuba section is over there going ham on the shit, right? So, like, I had this love-hate relationship with Tennessee State University Aristocratic Bands while I was there, man. But real talk, man, that's all love. It's I hate that I'm not at Tennessee State's homecoming this week. And right now, let me see if I can pull this up. Who's winning the actual football game? Who's winning the game? Come on, come on. Where we at? Michigan State playing? Fuck them. Oh, shit. Tennessee State University is winning right now. We playing Austin Peay University. We winning 17-14. It's 6 minutes and 47 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, man, I'm going to need y'all to pull out that W, Tigers. I'm going to need y'all to pull out that W. Real talk. Real talk. But, yeah, man, we got some stuff to talk about, man. I you know what? I had some notes, and I'm just kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to even bother with my notes tonight. I'm just going to kind of, like, speak off the cuff. And I've done this before, but I'm going to speak about some stuff. We're going to talk about some Harvey Weinstein tonight. We're definitely going to do that. We're also going to speak about Amanda Seals. We're going to talk about that. We got some random thoughts. I got a couple random thoughts that I had in my head, man, I want to talk about. We got a few things, man. We got some stuff to kind of get into. So let me close some of this stuff up. Because that doesn't need to be open. So let me close some of this stuff. Like title, you can go away. And let's see, we're going to do this here. And we're going to pull this here up. And yeah, we're going to talk about Amanda Seals. And another thing, man, like T-Baby done made a comeback and shit, man. Like it's some crazy shit. But so we're just going to kind of dive right into this, right? So I got these random thoughts that I was thinking about. And these are some of the things that kind of happen, you know, during the week or whatever. And, you know, every now and again, I just kind of like, I want to share these with you guys. And I wonder what you guys think about these as well, right? So one of the random thoughts that I kind of had earlier this week, man, you know, because I drive trucks and shit at work and stuff. I'm driving a really big dump truck, a Ford F-750, you know, with a truck full of sand and stuff because I got to backfill holes or whatever else. And, you know, a lot of times I'm also towing an excavator or some sort of like earth mover or some shit like that, right? I got a John Deere excavator on the back of my truck and I'm driving and shit. And I notice, man, like when I'm driving, I always see like the people who are the most aggressive motherfucking drivers are you goddamn people in like these compact cars, man. What is it with the people in the compact cars who drive it so goddamn aggressively, right? I don't know. It was like it was a string of motherfuckers, right? So I saw somebody in a Chevy Cruze kind of cut your boy off. It was somebody else in a Ford Focus that cut your boy off. It was somebody else in a Volkswagen Golf that shut your boy off. Now, you know, the thing is, man, I don't so much mind the compact cars, man. I mean, you know, people get it how they live, right? I just wondering why y'all so goddamn aggressive, man. I know y'all trying to find y'all way. I know y'all trying to find y'all way. Like y'all really are. You're trying to assert yourself in a world that's full of trucks and like full size cars, right? So you want to make sure that everybody know that your ass is there, right? Like, hey, I'm in my motherfucking car and I can drive and I can get around too. Y'all ain't gonna hog up all these lanes and shit. I get it. Y'all got this thing. It's almost like an inferiority complex or like a Napoleon complex. It's almost like a Chihuahua that thinks it's a Rottweiler, right? I get that feeling from y'all, man, because y'all be so motherfucking aggressive. Even when I'm not in the truck, even when I'm not like driving the truck at work, sometimes when I'm in my own car, right, and I'm at a stoplight, something like that, and I don't know if it's something about the G8, because I drive a Pontiac G8. I don't know if it's something about the G8 that attracts like people who want to race me at like a red light, and they pull up next to me and then they start revving their engine up and I'm just like kind of looking at them like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even see you. You can't see me. The windows is tinted. I like it like that, right? But, like, yeah, so they, like, you know, like, it's funny, man. I never forget, man. It was this little white kid, man. He pulled up in a Volkswagen Golf and shit. It was like I want to say, like, maybe an 07, 09 Volkswagen Golf. And he revving his shit up. And he, like, skirts off of the red light. Like, as soon as the light turned on, he's like, "Skirt!" And I'm like, nigga, I don't know if you know this, man, but I got a thing on my car that's monitoring all my shit, nigga. I'm trying to keep my insurance rates low, man. Like, you crazy as hell, nigga. I ain't about to race your punk ass out here. Hell, if I hit the brakes too hard on my goddamn car, that thing going off. I need these low insurance rates is what I'm trying to tell you. So I ain't racing out here. You can do that in your little Volkswagen Golf, dog. Y'all don't need to be so motherfucking aggressive is what I'm trying to say, though. Right? So, yeah, man, that's been one of those things, man, that's kind of going on. And I just wonder why y'all do that. I just kind of wondered why y'all do that, man. You know what? I'm not going to waste any more time, and we're just going to kind of go right into what we got, man. So one of the first things I wanted to kind of talk about was some shit that happened in Pittsburgh.
What in blue places is going on out here? This nigga just say blue blazes.
Let's do that again.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say blue blazes.
All right, so, and tonight, and what in blue blazes, man, we got this story that's coming out of Pittsburgh, man. And this is some crazy shit, because, for one, you know how there's, like, you know, there's a stereotype about black people not wanting to tip their waitresses and their bartenders and whatever else. But, man, Rod and Karen, they have a podcast that actually has a name, The Black Guy Who Tips, because it was, it was like, yo, man, we do tip. There's a stereotype, like, no, we do our thing, you know what I'm saying? We tip good service. Now, that's not to say that I don't know no black people that don't tip, right? I got a couple friends, man, who I don't necessarily like going out with, because I know that they're going to complain about their food even if nothing is wrong with their food, just so they don't have to tip later on in the night. So yeah, like, there are those elements, but I don't even think my friends, the friends I love these people, I don't even think they would do something as crazy as this, right? So this dude had a bar tab, and he found a very interesting way to try to get out of this shit, right? So let's see, it says a Pennsylvania man wanted to get out of his bar tab, so he called in a motherfucking bomb threat, adding to a laundry list of charges, right? So one, somebody actually called in a bomb threat. Like, really, dude? Like, really? A bomb threat? Like, come on, man. So it says, a Pennsylvania man who wanted to get out of his bar tab called in a bomb threat, creating a laundry list of charges for himself. According to the Associated Press, police were called to the Pittsburgh restaurant when Barry Clapperton, 40, tried to leave multiple times without paying. Police were about to let the man go when another customer stepped in to pay his bill, but were alerted to a bomb threat to a nearby restaurant. Clapperton tried to run, but officials were able to subdue him with a stun gun. So hold up. Hold up. Hold up. So he didn't call the bomb threat into the restaurant where he actually owed the bill. He called the bomb threat to a restaurant down the street, figured the police was going to leave, and then he could jet. Oh, shit, man. Like, no, man. That's not how you do this. That's not how this works, man. You can't do it that way. If I were the one who was going to be calling in a motherfucking bomb threat, I would probably be calling in the bomb threat to the restaurant where I owed the bill. Right, I'd be like calling, like, yeah, it's a bomb in the bathroom. Yeah, yeah, it's underneath the toilet. You better get everybody out of there. Yeah, you think I'm bullshitting? Well, I'm kind of bullshitting, but yeah, that's my bomb threat, boys. Yeah, that didn't quite work out. But yeah, like, he called in a bomb threat to get out of paying this tab. Now, obviously, this motherfucker didn't tip. And obviously, nobody is proclaiming that white people don't tip based on the actions of this dude in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, that was a Blue Blazers motherfucking moment right there, man. Real talk. Calling in a bomb threat to keep from paying a bill. Yeah, that happens. Another thing that that happened earlier in the week that I didn't really get a chance to talk about because, you know, life and work and shit. But somebody has accused rapper Nelly of raping them. All right, so this story here comes out of Bossip.com, right? So you know they a little bit messy when it comes to when it comes to the headlines, right? It says, "Say what? Nelly arrested for allegedly sexually assaulting a woman on his tour bus." Now it says, "Nelly has been arrested for allegedly raping a woman on a tour bus late Friday night, early Saturday morning." According to TMZ, a woman claims she was raped on the rapper's tour bus in Washington State. Nelly has been touring Washington with country band Florida Georgia Line and is set to have another performance later on tonight. The incident in question allegedly occurred Saturday morning around 3:45 a.m. on Nelly's bus. The woman specifically said that it was Nelly who forced himself on her. The rapper was taken in on second degree rape charges Saturday morning around 7 a.m. and remains in custody at this moment. We'll follow this story and let you know as more develops. Now, one of the things about rape and like rape allegations, when it comes to, especially when it comes to people of means and people of like notoriety and shit, like the first inkling that everybody goes to is like, yo, nah, he ain't do it. He ain't got to do it. Why would he have to do that? And like, real talk, man, some of y'all, like, that's probably what they trading off of. You thinking, or the public thinking, that he doesn't have to do it. He has women that want to throw themselves at him and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know. But, you know, I will say that according to this woman, it wasn't as hot as he thought it was. She wasn't trying to take her clothes off, man. And, you know, I don't know if she was like stomping in her Air Force Ones, but she sure as hell probably was running in them after she left that tour bus, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, man. I would hope that Nelly wouldn't do this, man. Like, I would really hope. Like, that's at the end of the day, like, when it comes to all of these, like, these cases where, like, these dudes of, like, notoriety, means, money, like, you would hope that they wouldn't do these sorts of things. But at the same time, you also know, judging off of everything we know now about sexual assault, sexual harassment and everything, it's basically a thing of power, man. Like, yo, I can do this because of who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can do this because of who I am, and nobody will believe that I had to do this to you, and therefore I can get away with it because of that. And people will make excuses for me because of who I am, and people will kind of cover up what I do because of who I am. Like, yeah, like, we're going to talk a little bit about that a little later on in the show. But yeah, man, I would hope that Nelly isn't out here doing that. I really would. But at the same time, because of the way in which things pan out, like, you never really can know about any of these dudes. I mean, for the longest time, everybody thought Bill Cosby was the paragon of virtue, man. He was America's dad. And, you know, we found out what happened about him later on, right? So, yeah, man, that's a What in Blue Blazes moment, man. Another thing that kind of happened over the course of this week, man. T-Baby. I don't know if you guys remember T-Baby, but T-Baby, the rapper who came out with the song It's So Cold in the D, she making a comeback, y'all. And you know, the funny thing about T-Baby making a comeback is I don't know if anybody was asking for it. All right. Was anybody asking for that? Like, yo, what hey, T-Baby, when is the follow-up coming to It's So Cold in the D, right? So let's read this story. This comes out of, Metro Times here in Detroit. It says, in 2008, rapper T-Baby released a track called It's So Cold in the D, which managed to achieve a certain level of fame. Usher and New Kids on the Block both performed the track during sets in Metro Detroit, and the song became a pseudo-anthem for the city. The low-budget video has close to 9.5 million views on YouTube, but the rapper, born LaTanya Miles, has been something of a one-hit wonder. But she hasn't stopped rapping. Yesterday, T-Baby dropped a new track called Detroit Style. The track features Mikey Nunn, the alien, and repeatedly references her famous song, Listen Below. Okay. I am going to put out a disclaimer now. I have not heard this song. I have not heard it. But I am going to put out a disclaimer for this song that, judging off of what we heard from It's So Cold in the D, we're not expecting much, but we do expect some growth, right? We expect some growth when it comes to T-Baby on her rapping and, you know, her production and everything else. Because, yo, It's So Cold in the D, it was, yeah, man, it wasn't the greatest, right? You know, it's a pseudo anthem. It's kind of funny and everything else. Like, but yeah, you know, we would hope that T-Baby in the years since It's So Cold in the D has found some growth in her rapping, right? So we're going to go ahead and give, what's the name of this song? Detroit Style. We're going to give this song a spin, and we're going to hope it's, yeah. Let's see what happens. Okay. Oh, shit.
These lame ass bitches, all they do is talk shit. I don't give a fuck, y'all can lick my click. And bitches always talking about they that game, when they don't know shit about a motherfucking game. I'm that damn piece, so sit that damn piece wine. I'm that chocolate princess, put it down with the mines. I come through your hood with no traces of a princess. All through your hood, like the fucking snow
it's
woman.
It's so cold in the day. I'll beat your ass, I'll stomp your ass, I'll put you bitches in the fucking ditches and shit. I'll beat your ass, I'll stomp your ass, I'll put you bitches in the fucking ditches and shit. Yeah, you wanna
talk, you wanna talk about me, you better back up, cause I got that fucking Tommy.
Okay, no, I am sorry, y'all. I apologize. On behalf of Detroiters, I apologize for T-Baby. I'm sorry, y'all. Like no. Damn, girl, like. I really was rooting for her to, like, you know, like, kind of step it up. Like, I was hoping the production, like, it started off good, man. It had some promise, man. Like, the 808 was kicking and everything, man. Like, you know, and then, like, the claps and shit started. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And then, like, she came in. It was like, you know, T-Baby got this thing, man. Like, her timing be off, bruh. Like, with T-Baby, like, when she get into the song, it's like her timing on the beat be a little bit off. It's like when you try to jump in on double dutch and the motherfucking, like, rope just, like, kind of, you know, tie around your ankles and shit because you ain't jump in at the right time. Like, it's kind of like that with her and the beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't really kind of riding the beat in the way in which she could. And then on top of that, like, yo, let's be honest. Like, that was some really basic-ass rhyming, right? I think my daughter might be able to, like, kind of write, you know, a little something more inspired. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's unfortunate. That is so unfortunate. So, yeah, T-Baby, I'm sorry, baby. We gotta find T-Baby something else to do. We really do. We gotta find her something else to do, man. Real talk. That's unfortunate, man. Really is. It really is. So, yeah, that's going on, man. Another thing that kind of happened over the course of this week. And I, you know what? The thing is, like, this is one of those things, man, to where, yeah, man, it's one of those things where somebody has earned themselves a place in a special group of people. And I'm quite sure they never thought that they would find themselves among this group of people, but it's well deserved, right? It is well deserved, and we're gonna get right into it. So we're gonna reintroduce something we haven't done in a long time. In the Black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories. All right. So today's entry into the special Hotep unit is Amanda Seals, y'all. Now, Amanda Seals finds herself in the special Hotep unit because, well, here's the thing. Amanda Seals took to Twitter and she decided that she was going to be a bit classist, right? A bit anti-black, so to speak, right? Because a lot of Hotep-ish, a lot of people in our Hotep special, our special Hotep unit, a lot of them, although they would say that they're trafficking in this shit because they love black people, a lot of it is really just like shitting on black people because black people aren't doing exactly what you want them to do, right? And it has nothing exactly to do with your love of black people. So one of the things about Amanda Seals, like, she went on Twitter and she said some things about buying Jordans and traveling, getting passports and stuff. I'm going to read the story. This comes out of Essence.com. It says, Amanda Seals sent out a series of tweets Monday morning that stirred up a heated discussion about race, economics, and privilege. While traveling to Paris, the insecure actress was waxing poetic about the joys of traveling abroad when she shared her opinion on priorities. If you're buying Jordans and Nike suits but don't have a passport, you're losing, she said. If you're buying Jordans and Nike suits but you don't have a credit card, you're losing. The 36-year-old also had more positive opinions, saying if you're working a side hustle to support your dream hustle, you're winning. Black Twitter immediately picked up her statements and shared their perspective on winning versus losing. I'm not really about to get into what Black Twitter had to say about this, but what I will say is this, man. Pocket watching is a motherfucking disease. And I've said this before, and I will continue to reiterate this idea, man. Pocket watching is a disease, man. I don't know why people have this idea that anybody, any group of people will take unsolicited financial advice, right? Judgmental, unsolicited financial advice. It's almost the same thing as with people with their kids, right? Like people aren't really here to listen to you tell them about how fucked up they're raising their kids or like what they're doing with their kids that you don't necessarily approve of. Their finances is something similar. Like their children and their finances are two very sensitive topics that nobody really wants to discuss amongst strangers, right? Don't tell me how to spend my money. Don't tell me how to raise my children because you don't necessarily agree, right? And I get it. Like sometimes, like I will speak sometimes on the parenting for like the internet, right? Like when I see like a parent decide they want to discipline a kid for the internet, it's like, okay, now you done put this out here for everybody to kind of, you know, have an opinion on. Like, I don't need you to like discipline your kid for me. If your kid is doing something fucked up, then you should probably handle that in-house. The rest of us don't really need to know about that shit, right? But yeah, like that's kind of what this is. Like, so she's going to Paris apparently. And she's, she's talking about having a passport and, buying Jordans and everything else, right? So I will say this, man. I'm someone who has been fortunate enough in my lifetime to have traveled outside of the country. I appreciate the memories that I have for flying out of the country. Like I've been to Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, I didn't even have to fly to go to Canada. Canada right across the motherfucking bridge here from Detroit. So yeah, I've been to Canada before. I've been to Paris before. I've been to Africa before. Like these are all things that I appreciate. I love the fact that I was able to do them. They also cost a shit ton of money to do, right? And at the time that I was able to do a lot of this stuff, it was because of the school that I went to, and like I didn't even have to pay full price for a lot of that stuff, right? I lucked up being at a school where these sorts of things were kind of afforded to the students who were doing well in their grades and what have you, right? Found out later on that some of that stuff, some of the opportunities that was afforded to me was because of some misappropriated funds, right? They were, I would think, going to a good cause, but, you know, yeah, like, these were things that I was able to do because other people allowed for me to be able to do them. Right. And I appreciate those memories and I appreciate those opportunities to be able to do them. But one thing about traveling that I think, especially this whole thing with passports, but like one thing about traveling, man, is like I need people who have started doing this whole traveling thing to understand is like, yo, everybody ain't really like they don't value this as much as you may value this. Right. The same way that you don't necessarily value those Jordans, they may not necessarily value that trip to Dubai. Right. To say that you went to Dubai. Like, I think sometimes what ends up happening is sometimes when it comes to like some of these bougie black people who go traveling, a lot of it is simply to say that, oh yeah, I went here. And they own Instagram, they own Twitter, and they're making sure that everybody sees it. Like, yeah, I was in Dubai and I was riding camels and shit. Y'all need to step y'all game up. Y'all keep going to Miami. Y'all need to get about this Dubai life. And they're like, all right, nigga, who said I really wanted to go to the desert though? You know what I'm saying? Like, who said I had any aspirations to even be there? Miami is my shit. I go to Miami and I have a good time. Same thing with me and my wife when we go to New Orleans. Yo, I love New Orleans. Every time I go down there, I have a good time. Man, I eat, I drink, I have a good motherfucking time. And I'm cool with that. I don't have to go all the way over to fucking Dubai. I don't have to go all the way over to Africa. I don't have to do that in order to enjoy myself. And I think a lot of times, man, what happens is when people reach a certain socioeconomic status, they start trying to shit on the people who don't have it as well as they do, right? And it's one of those things, man. Like it's a classist thing to tell people that they shouldn't value or that they should have values that are similar to yours simply because it's what's important to you, right? We saw this last year, or was it last year, earlier this summer, when it was with the mom who she sent her son out to prom. She spent $25,000 on her son's prom with the, you know, the exotic cars. He had three different dates and he had three different settings. He had three, like, he had a whole bunch of different shit. His mom spent $25,000 on his prom. And I saw black people on Twitter, on Facebook, going in, talking about how much this woman didn't value money, how she wasted this money sending her son to this to prom and all this other stuff. And it's like, yo, she created memories with her and her son. Her son is gonna remember this shit for the rest of his life. My mama did that for me. My mama thought I was worthy enough to have all of that for prom. And I remember everybody was talking about, yo, man, like, well, shit. Is he graduating though? I mean, I be seeing people in the hood all the time, and these kids got 1.2 GPAs, man. He got the Jordans and he got the starter jackets. I don't know if niggas wearing starter jackets no more, but yeah, he got all this shit, but he barely graduating. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be spending all this money on no kid that ain't graduating. Like, come to find out, the kid is graduating and he's going to college, and his mama is footing the bill for that too. Ain't got no scholarship, ain't asking you niggas for nothing, and they doing all right. The boy in school. And it's paid for by his mama, the same mama that dropped $25,000 for him to be able to go to prom the way in which he was able to go to prom, right? So you got a lot of people, man, who are in the pockets of everybody else and trying to tell everybody how to spend their fucking money. It's like, really, you should mind your fucking business. Like, real talk. Like, I am a person, I own quite a few pair of Jordans. I've also been to some of these other, like, places. I've been to Dakar, Senegal. I've been, like I said, I've been to Guadalajara, Mexico. I've been to Windsor. You know, I've never been to Toronto, although I really would like to go to Toronto, and probably Vancouver. I hear it's a very nice town, right? I want to go to some of these places, but I don't go out of my way to say that, like, yo, you shouldn't buy these Jordans with your money. Like, I don't do that, right? I don't do that. And to kind of juxtapose the what people value, right? So you would say that somebody shouldn't buy these Jordans, that they should get a passport. Why would they get this passport if they don't plan on going anywhere? If they have no desires whatsoever to go to Paris, if they have no desires whatsoever to go to Rio or go to Australia, like everybody doesn't have that desire to do that. Another thing too that I think gets missed in this entire discussion is, like, yo, some people are out here buying these Jordans because they appreciate and value some of these J's, not all of them. But you got some sneakerheads who buy these shoes for the sole purpose of, like, yo, I might be able to resell these, right? I might be able to get some money. I'll spend the $190 or $200 for these, and I probably will flip these damn shoes and get maybe $500 to $600 for them because they were a limited release. Everybody wasn't able to get them, and I'm able to, like, get these to somebody else who really wants these motherfucking shoes, right? But there's a classism argument that goes with this too. I remember when that, like I said, I remember when we were talking about that mom with this kid that was, she spent $25,000 on his prom. I remember going, talking to people who were just basically like patting themselves on the back about their financial acumens, right? Like, I remember there was this one lady, she was talking about, oh, well, I'm just saying, y'all spending all this money when y'all need to be putting y'all money up. I got $25,000 that I can reach out and touch, just saved up in the bank. And I'm like, congratulations. Good for you. Good for you. Everybody doesn't have the means to save up $25,000. Right? Everybody can't do it. It's a congratulations that you were able to do that, but that does not mean that because they decided they wanted to do something nice for themselves for once, maybe twice, that that somehow means that they're less of a person for doing so. It's a ridiculous fucking argument to make. And so I put Amanda Seals in the special HOTEP unit because we hear this kind of shit all the time from HOTEPs, man. HOTEPs will tell you all the time, man, we need to do these group economics, man. Like, we need to put our money together and we need to, like, keep our money in the community and all this other stuff and stop spending our money with this, that, and the others. Like, yo, man, like, at the end of the day, you don't dictate folks' wallets. You don't get to dictate how people decide they're going to spend their money. I hate when, like, I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody. Like, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of y'all. But have you ever walked into a room and you might be doing pretty good for yourself, right? Like, like over the course of the years that I've been doing this podcast, man, like, I have, to a certain degree, had a little bit of a come up, right? Like, my income has gone up quite a bit over the time that I've been doing this show. When I first started doing this show, I might have been, you know, it wasn't where it is now. I just say that, right? And so sometimes it will reflect in some of the things that I'm able to purchase, right? So I'm able to do the Jordans. I'm able to buy a smart watch or something like that. And it's like, I do these things because these are the things that I like. You know what I'm saying? These are the things that I'm able to, like, I like these things. I've always been into these things, and now I'm able to kind of enjoy the fruits of my labor, so to speak. But have you ever walked into a room and people are kind of looking you up and down, noticing everything you're wearing and pointing that shit out to you? And then saying, well, damn, man, you look like you're doing real good, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, nigga, you got the J's on, nigga. Is that a Samsung watch, nigga? That motherfucker like $400, ain't it? Damn, nigga. So, shit, man, loan a nigga $40. Nigga, I know you got it. You ever had that happen to you? Pocket watching. It's a disease, man. I hate when folks do this shit. Even when people... What the fuck? No, Google, damn it. I hate when that happens, though. Like, when people decide that, you know, the way you spend your money is somehow a reflection on whether or not you're doing the community a disservice by doing these things that you think are good for yourself. Yeah, Amanda Seals is in a special hotel unit, and it's deservedly so. So, yeah, she is, let me go ahead and bump this out. In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories. All right. Now, we're going to get into the gist of the shit that we really wanted to talk about tonight, right? Harvey Weinstein. I guess it's safe to say that it's not just black men who this shit happens to, right? So, you know, of course, like, the title of this episode is really just like on some, it's a poke at all the silly motherfuckers who said that, you know, that dumb shit about Bill Cosby and him buying NBC and that being the reason for, excuse me, these rape allegations coming up about him and the sexual allegations and whatever else. A few things about this, right? One of the things I think is very interesting, man, is like, one, a lot of the people who were talking that shit about Bill Cosby, this shit only happening to him because of this, like, they got real quiet, right? Haven't really heard a hell of a lot from those same people, right? But the thing that I did find fucked up is that there is some consistency with the people who do talk a lot of this shit about rape and how it's how it manifests itself with people of power and people of privilege, as Harvey Weinstein is. One of the things is, you know, we started hearing all these stories, you know, as these stories started coming out, started hearing everybody start talking about, well, why did it take these women so long to come out, right? And why did it take so long for them to say anything? Like, we heard these are like common talking points among a lot of people who just don't want to believe that any of these rich dudes have to rape anybody, right? Like, this, that's their go-to thing. Like, man, he got all this money, man. He got all this power. He ain't got to do this shit. And it's exactly why they do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's exactly why they do this, because they know that they can kind of get away with it, because people will not believe that they have to do these things. They don't have to do these things. They just simply want to do these things, right? So Harvey Weinstein has been a Hollywood honcho. He owns the Weinstein Company, production company, man. He's made a lot of careers. He's been, like, the allegations against him go back at least 30 fucking years, man, but he's a really big part of the Hollywood elite, so to speak. Like, you hear conservative people talk about Hollywood elites all the time. He is what you would probably call a Hollywood elite. He makes and green lights a lot of shit, right? And you know you had to have fucked up big time for you to get fired from a company with your name on it, right? Can you imagine, like, Bruce Wayne getting fired from Wayne Enterprises, right? Can you imagine that? Like, Bruce Wayne is, like, a matter of fact, that was a plot in one of the Batman, The Enemy Within, I think it was, on the video game. Like, he got ousted out of Wayne Enterprises and shit. So, yeah. But I'm venturing off into something else. I'm sorry. But yeah, so you know, you had that fucked up to have your have the people who run your company, like, you are the name and the face of this company, and they like, yo, man, we can't have you here, man. Like, you gotta bounce, right? And all of these allegations start coming out. You got big name actresses, man. Like, you know, like, one of the biggest names I think was probably Ashley Judd, who came out and said that, like, Harvey Weinstein wanted her to watch him shower. There was an audio tape that came out with another young actress who said that he had fondled her breast at one point in time. He's trying to force her into a hotel room, talking about she's embarrassing him and all these other different things. And you don't want to make an enemy of me. Like, just come into the room. Like, he was really adamant about her coming into the room. I'm not going to do anything. Just come into the room. It's like, dude, it's obvious that this lady is uncomfortable even in your presence. And you're just worried about how you look as far as being embarrassed. How do you think this woman feels in this moment, knowing that this is a person who can control the trajectory of her career just by being in your presence, right? And not or doing or not doing the things in which you want her to do. So, like, Harvey Weinstein is one of these people who has been able to operate with impunity because of the ideas in which, because of the ways in which we traffic in celebrity and the ways in which we traffic in rape and rape culture. Like, he's been able to get away with this for a long time. People knew about this. Rumors were out there about him doing this. And a lot of folks were scared to say anything about it because of the power he wielded in the industry, right? There was a story that said that there was an NBC reporter who had this story a long time ago, and that story got nixed. Like, he had the influence to have that story expunged. Like, yo, like, kill that shit. We can't have that out here, right? You got actors coming up and speaking on his behalf. You got, like, guys like Matt Damon and guys like, who was that? Ben Affleck came out, like, trying to play a good guy, and come to find out Ben Affleck was out here, like, groping women and shit too. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that pervasive? Like, even these big name people who you see these guys all the time, you see them on the red carpet, you see these big budget movies they're in, and all of them, like, to a certain degree, are kind of like assholes, like entitled sexist assholes, right? So, you know, I'm going to read this story here. This comes out of, where was this? Where does this come from? The Washington Post. Since 1984, Harvey Weinstein was 32 years old and making one of his first real feature films on location outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania. It was a comedy called Plan for Keeps, featuring a not yet famous Marissa Tomei. And the mood on set was anxious. Weinstein was foul-mouthed and domineering. He sparred routinely with his younger brother Bob and his co-director. At one point, they wanted to shoot two versions of each scene because neither would compromise his vision. One day, a young female crew member came to the office of lead producer Alan Brewer, an old high school friend of Harvey's from Queens, and started crying. Weinstein had asked her to come to his hotel room, ostensibly for work reasons. She told Brewer, but he then kissed her. She resisted. Weinstein overpowered her. He forced her on the bed and attempted to perform oral sex on her. Eventually, she got him to stop. Brewer asked if she wanted to file a police report. Another crew member heard the woman's account separately at the time and corroborated Brewer's memories. No, she said, shaking. She just wanted to keep the job, but she wanted the co-director to stay away from her. Right? It's a power dynamic there. Like, I'm just trying to work, bruh. I'm just trying to do my job. And you're making it very hard for me to do that. And I know if I, by going to the police and saying anything to the police about what's happening to me, and I'm just a part of the crew, then my career could be over. Nobody's ever going to want to work with me again. I'll probably be blackballed out of the industry. Like, she's a problem. She's going to talk too much. This happens all the time. And it was funny, man, because, well, not funny, but, like, when we were talking about Bill Cosby and a lot of the women that were coming up against Bill Cosby, it's like, one of the things was like, well, why did they say anything? It's like, because it's fucking Bill Cosby. Who am I against Bill Cosby? How can I say anything against Bill Cosby? America loves this man. If I come out and say anything against this man, I'm just some crazy young girl who has illusions of grandeur, illusions of scandal. Like, and that's another thing too. Like, another way in which they would shame a lot of these women would be to say that, like, you just looking for the come up, right? You looking for the payday. Like, you just trying to get paid. You go try to bring this man down and sully his name. You trying to get famous and get rich and famous. Like, one of the things about it is, like, oh, have you seen the kind of fame and notoriety that these kind of women get? Like, the women who do this, who actually do step forward and say anything about what's happened to them and it was done by these men of power, means, and privilege. Have you seen what happens to these women? What kind of fame do they really get? They get infamy. They get known as the woman who brought down the person that everybody fucking loved. They're not really treated with fucking open arms and shit. America is not embracing these people whatsoever, right? We see this all the time. It's a repeated process all the time. It's like a movie that you've seen over and over and over again, right? This story further goes on and says, Weinstein would go on to become the toast of Hollywood, building a mini empire and towering reputation as a cultural kingpin. And then it would all come crashing down with a series of damning stories over the past several days by the New York Times and the New Yorker, alleging years of harassment and sexual abuse allegations against women he encountered encountered in his work as an A-list film producer. On Saturday, just days after being fired from his own company, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Board of Governors voted to expel Weinstein from the Academy, a major denunciation from someone who helped shape Oscar races for years. Now, here's another part that I thought was interesting, right? Because, again, we were talking about some of the correlations between this and Bill Cosby. Remember when everybody was like, we're talking about Bill Cosby's, the Cosby Show being taken off of the air? Like, a lot of people were really mad about the Cosby Show being taken off of the air and the consequences that were being set up for Bill Cosby. Like, people weren't really trying to associate with Bill Cosby after he was seen as a serial rapist or a serial sexual assaulter, like someone who would drug women to have sex with them unbeknownst to them, right? And the one thing that they kept latching onto, like, well, they only doing this because he black. And then you start seeing, like, yo, man, like, they are disassociating. Like, nobody wants to be associated with a sexual predator, man. Like, that's just, like, that is, like, the modus operandi of everybody of decency. Like, nobody wants to be associated with a social predator. It's just not it's not the business. It's not the business. It's bad for business, as a matter of fact, right? The Oscars have expelled this dude from even being a part of the Academy. He shaped a lot of Oscar races. Like, he's no longer a part of the Academy. He's been fired from the company that bears his fucking name. Like, he's being run out of fucking Hollywood right now, right? Now, another interesting thing about this entire Harvey Weinstein thing that I think is very, I think it's kind of funny, man. So, Harvey Weinstein has been, he's been known to donate a lot of money to Democratic causes, right? And a lot of prominent Democratic politicians have been the recipients of donations made by Harvey Weinstein for their campaigns. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton being a few, you know, being a couple. And it was interesting. It was interesting how conservative media suddenly gave a damn about sexual assault, right? So Sean Hannity, right, decided that he wanted to speak on the hypocrisy of a lot of liberals on this Harvey Weinstein thing. It says, during tonight's opening monologue on the Fox News show Hannity, host Sean Hannity devoted more than 10 minutes to highlight what he claimed was the hypocrisy of liberals when it came to the bombshell sexual misconduct allegations against Hollywood heavyweight Harvey Weinstein. After playing the disturbing 2015 audio obtained by the New Yorker of Weinstein admitted to a model that he had groped her breast earlier and providing some of the most recent details of actresses coming out with their own sort of tales of Weinstein's behavior, Hannity tore into the Hollywood elite and Democratic politicians who he said knew all about what Weinstein was doing. And of course, this led into Hannity going after former President Bill Clinton and the women who accused him of sexual wrongdoing. I don't remember Hollywood stars speaking out against Clinton or talking about his issues that he had to deal with, Hannity declared, or how Hillary defended him. The conservative commentator also brought up how Weinstein was a major donor to both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, noting that the Fox News had reported that Weinstein donated $200,000 to the Clinton Foundation. This then led to the Fox News host to ask if Obama and Clinton would return the money before slamming liberals in general. Now, ironically enough, Sean Hannity just had Bill O'Reilly on his show, like, not too long ago, which is interesting. He had him in studio at Fox News. Like, this is the same Bill O'Reilly who was fired from Fox News because of the revelations that Bill O'Reilly was had multiple cases of sexual harassment against Fox News employees. So Sean Hannity is going to talk about the hypocrisy of, say, for instance, a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama. He's going to talk about the hypocrisy of them while having a fucking noted sexual predator on his show as recently as last month. Right? It's amazing. It's amazing where people will go with this. So another thing that I thought was very interesting, because, you know, the talk is of whether or not Barack Obama maybe knew about what Harvey Weinstein was accused of. I'm pretty sure that Barack Obama would not have allowed his daughter, I believe it was Malia, be an intern where Harvey Weinstein was working had Barack Obama had any knowledge of this whatsoever. I doubt very seriously anybody's going to willingly put their daughter in any harm for whatever reason. Like, most decent human beings, and I think we can count Barack Obama as a decent human being, I doubt very seriously he would put Malia Obama in a position to where Harvey Weinstein will think that Malia is sexy and try to force himself on the first daughter of the United States of America. Right? Be that as it may, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both have, like, we got to get, we'll take this money and, like, send it somewhere. We don't want any parts of it. We don't really need it. But, yeah, this is what it is, right? And it's interesting, too, in the sense of when it comes to, like, conservatives and Republicans and whatever else. Like, now all of a sudden you want to be sanctimonious about sexual assault and sexual harassment against women when, first of all, like I said, we just had Bill O'Reilly get fired from Fox News for sexual harassment and Sean Hannity had him on his show. But also, you guys elected a dude who was also on tape talking about grabbing women by the pussy. You voted for him after you knew this. After you knew this. People made t-shirts that said, Donald Trump, grab me by the pussy. And I'm voting for him anyway. Right? You knew this. And you got the audacity to act as if you have some sort of outrage. You're outraged over the fact that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton somehow received campaign donations or donations, period, from Harvey Weinstein, as if they really did know that he was out here doing these things. Now, I would hope that they didn't, but it's real it's real rich for somebody or people who we know voted for a known sexual predator to then somehow call themselves being, call themselves the paragons of virtue on this particular topic, right? And another thing too, like, It's wild in that you want Hillary Clinton now to come out and say or denounce this dude. You want Barack Obama to come out and announce this dude or denounce this dude when the last, 9 months, you've been really wanting these people to go away. Hillary Clinton's got a book out called What Happened. And it talks about, you know, what happened during the campaign last year. And folks are like telling Hillary to shut the fuck up. We don't really want to hear from you no more. And you need to go ahead and, like, disappear into oblivion. But now you want her to speak on this. Barack Obama hasn't really said much about anything. I mean, he did the speech on Wall Street that a lot of folks were mad about, that he made money off of, as if other presidents haven't done this, as if Bill Clinton hadn't done this, as if George H.W. Bush hadn't, like, made money off of appearances, as if his father hadn't done the same thing. This is kind of common practice amongst former presidents, that they go out and they do speeches and they get speaking fees for these speeches because they yell. It's not a whole lot of former, presidents of the United States living, right? So you got mad at these folks for doing that. You got mad at, you know, Hillary Clinton for writing the book. You get mad at Barack Obama for staying quiet. But you, right now you want Barack Obama to, like, all of a sudden everybody wants Barack Obama to come out and say stuff like, yo, he ain't on the clock no more. Like, he don't owe you jack shit no more. His presidency is done. You voted for the asshole you wanted. And now the asshole. And that was another thing. It was really motherfucking rich. Donald Trump got his ass out here talking about, oh, I'm not surprised about Harvey Weinstein. I have been hearing stories for years. Like, yeah, you was probably doing some shit with him, dog. Like, real talk, if we being motherfucking honest, like, Donald Trump doesn't have the greatest fucking track record on this whatsoever. So it's real fucking rich for somebody like Donald Trump. It's real rich for somebody like Bill O'Reilly. It's real rich for somebody like Sean Hannity to get their asses on here and talk about what these other people need to be doing when they endorsed a lot of these actions by voting for Donald Trump. Right? But going back into this, you know, because I kind of went off on like a political tangent, but kind of going back into the like these ideas of sexual assault and sexual harassment, you know, a lot of these women went on to become some very prominent people, and they didn't come forward, one, because of the power dynamics surrounding this. Because no matter how big these women are now, like, everybody knows Marissa Tomei, like, everybody knows Ashley Judd. She's the sister of, you know, or the sister and daughter of the Judds, right? Like, the country singing duo. Like, people know who these women are. And one of the things that I remember hearing a lot of folks talk about with Bill Cosby was, like, well, they're looking for the payday. They're looking for this come up. Like, what about these women? Right? These women have names of their own. These women have means. These are millionaire women now. They've had pretty successful careers, and they're all saying, like, yo, this happened to me. He forced himself on me. He wanted me to, he tried to force me to watch him shower. He tried to kiss me. He fondled me. He tried to have a meeting with me under the auspices of work, and come to find out, he was really just trying to get me alone and try to do something with me. And these are all women of means. So now, is it really just about the money? Nah, so that's been taken off the table. It's not about the money. They have money. They have influence. Some of these women have influence. Some of these women have names, reputable ones. So no, it's not even that. It's not about the money. So that's taken off of the table. Another thing, man, you know, Terry Crews came out and he said that, you know, a Hollywood exec groped him in front of his wife at a function. And interestingly enough, a lot of dudes would say that, like, Terry Crews is probably undercover gay. He didn't say nothing. Why is he coming out now? Like, there's this thing, man, where, like, there's a denial amongst a shit ton of people that sexual assault and sexual harassment is real. And a lot of it, I swear, a lot of it is based upon the fact that there's a lot of dudes who do a lot of this shit, and they're not trying to see themselves as a sexual deviant, as a rapist, as a sexual assaulter, as someone who's sexually harassing and have a habit of it. A lot of motherfuckers are out here really defending themselves by proxy, whether that be Bill Cosby, whether that be Harvey Weinstein. A lot of these motherfuckers are defending themselves because they've practiced some of these same sorts of tactics when it comes to having sex with or trying to have sex with women or dudes. And they don't want anybody to know. Right? A lot of it is based on that. A lot of it is coming from the fact that, like, yo, I might be guilty of this, so therefore, if that's what y'all are calling rape, then damn it, that means I'm a rapist, and I don't think I'm a rapist, so fuck y'all. No, that ain't rape. They wanted this. She asked for it. Donna Karen came out. DKNY. When was the last time you seen anybody rocking some DKNY, right? But Donna Karen came out and was talking about how these women are asking for based upon what these women are dressing like and how they're presenting themselves. And maybe they're asking for trouble and dressing a certain way and presenting themselves a certain way. It's like, yo, man, that's the same sort of victim blaming that a lot of dudes do. Like, oh, man, she had her titties out there. I mean, I had to grab one, man. The motherfucker was right there. Right? Whole lot of dudes that think on those sorts of terms. Whole lot of them. So, my question for a lot of the brothers who were mad at me about talking so much about Bill Cosby, like, where y'all at? Was this motherfucker buying NBC too? Was Harvey Weinstein buying NBC? I need to know. A lot of us really want to know. How do you explain this sort of thing? Is this really just them bringing a black man down? I said, when I was talking so much about Bill Cosby, like, one of the things, like, this is another thing too, I feel like I need to say. Because one of the things I talked about a lot, man, like, people were talking about, what about Roman Polanski? What about the dude from Seventh Heaven? Like, I remember everybody talking about, like, they would deflect away from that shit. And what the fuck, man? These come at the worst times. But one of the things I remember saying was like, yo, the reason I was talking so much about Bill Cosby is Bill Cosby is relevant to the community. He's relevant to a lot of the people that I grew up with. He's relevant to a lot of the people who grew up idolizing him. So I spoke about that because he was relevant to our community. Now, Harvey Weinstein has probably been, has greenlit a lot of movies that have had some influence in the black community. I mean, I don't know all of the movies he's motherfucking greenlit, but yo, some of them I'm pretty sure we've watched and enjoyed. But the interesting thing is like, yo, the power dynamics are still the same. The excuses that you use for Bill Cosby are some of the same excuses that people are using for Harvey Weinstein right now. And it honestly, when it comes to this particular issue, sexism, racism, like, these isms kind of run parallel. And sometimes when it comes to brothers, we can sometimes opt out of our being black and we can opt into our being male. And because we have that similar fucking connection with white men, like, sometimes we'll lean into that. Unfortunately, for a lot of brothers, we'll lean into that. We can't understand why a woman or a victim would come forward years later. And even when we talk about the power dynamics behind it and why those things affect whether or not a person comes forward or not, a lot of dudes just really ain't trying to hear it because they're trying to absolve themselves. That's really what it boils down to at the end of the day. So, yeah, man. It is what it is at this point. Harvey Weinstein is like, yeah, we probably seen the last of Harvey Weinstein. I wouldn't be surprised if that dude like tried to get on a jet and never came back to America. He's got enough money. He's probably a flight risk. He hasn't been charged with anything yet, but it's probably coming, and he's probably a flight risk. And if people were smart, they would probably try to get that passport away from him, and they would probably try to keep that dude from flying out of the country. Because of the fact that, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I don't think that this is, I don't think that this is the end of it. I believe that a lot more is going to come out of this entire situation because of how they quickly tried to get rid of this guy, right? Quickly tried to get rid of him. So, yeah, man, that is what it is. But we got to get out of here. So, yeah, that's the show for tonight. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spin Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You go ahead and hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespinreport.com. That's feedback@thespinreport.com. Leave me those emails, and I will read those emails here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your boy throughout the week. Go to www.thespanreport.com, and everything's available there, man. Watch the show live, or you can watch the show later. You can download the show from there. You can vote in the polls there. You can do a whole lot of stuff at thespanreport.com, man. But what you can't do there is give me a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher. So I appreciate everybody who goes to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and does that for your boy, man. Real talk. But I got to get out of here. Dinner's ready, and I have to eat. So, yeah. I'll talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam.